As Stuart said, it is just a very quick update on the Watoto Choir, who will be here on Friday the 2nd of June. Well, I say here because it's not going to be here. The venue has been decided. It will be actually at the school, just down the road. Anybody that was here in the church when the refurbishment was being done will know the building quite well because it's the same place. It's 7 o'clock in the evening on Friday. Now, I mentioned before that we're running this in conjunction with Hadley Baptist Church. They're here on Friday and they're at Hadley on Saturday. So what we're looking for are hosts for the children. They come, there's 18 children plus adults in groups. They usually, it's in groups of two children, an adult, maybe three. We have so far four hosts. We need to find four more. It is for two nights. Normally with the choir it would be for one night, but because we're combining with Hadley, it's actually for two nights, so for Friday and Saturday. Not sure what happens after Saturday yet. If anyone can help, I've got some details as to what they require. So if you want to know any more before making your mind up, I can give you a little bit of an insight as to what's actually needed, what they need from hosts. So if there is anybody that can help, we've got one or two from here so far, but if there are anybody else, is anyone else that can help, have a word with me afterwards this morning if you can. Thank you. Going on to this morning's reading. It's taken from the book of 1 Peter, which is towards the end of the New Testament. So if you can find Revelation and come forward a little bit, it's a little bit before. 1 Peter, first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. I should have checked what page it is in the church Bibles, but I forgot again, as usual. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, John. Okay, so this morning we're looking at the shield of faith. We're in a little series, remember, I think most of you know this. We're actually in the series in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at the spiritual armor that the Lord has given to us to help us in our Christian lives. We're often under attack and those kind of things. So we've got this spiritual armor. Today we're looking at the shield of faith. Let's have a look at our soldier. Hopefully it's going to come up on here. Darius, can you click it on for me? So here we are. We've got our two soldiers. You can see the different parts and things we've looked at already. One of the big features on there is this shield that you can see the guy on the right-hand side is kind of leaning on against. So you can see the size. It was about 1.5 meters high, usually. If you're still in the old money, that's about 4'6". By about 2'6". And the idea was that it was big enough to shield a soldier if he was to kneel down, that the shield would completely cover him. That was the idea of it. That's the size for it. It was made of wood, so it wasn't a particularly light piece of equipment. It was covered with leather and then decorated. And this was the decoration that you can see on there. It's a pretty classic kind of decoration. It weighed about 25 pounds, so 10 kilograms. So you imagine you're carrying 5 bags of flour in your hand. Man, you know what bags of flour feel like, don't you? You know, ladies wouldn't understand that, but can you imagine that? That's the kind of weight that they're carrying. The idea and its main purpose was not for the hand-to-hand combat when they were fighting. They had a smaller, rounded shield for that. But this one was to protect the enemy against the arrows that would be fired in. Protect the soldier against the arrows that would be fired in. Often, the arrows would be tipped with a material or wool that was then dipped in something like tar and set alight. So it was kind of very basic Molotov cocktails, you know, where they light a bottle and throw it with it's filled with petrol. When it lands, it explodes. Probably most of us are familiar with those images. Well, these arrows that were fired in the Roman times, very similar to that. We've seen the police officers and the army, the effects of a Molotov cocktail when it hits them. It sets them on fire. The idea was that these arrows would do the same thing. So the shield was there to protect from these flying missiles, to deflect the fire away from the people. It was a clever device. And it's interesting that the shields they use today, I should probably have Kerry on this one because she probably knows more about it than I do. Have you ever had training in any of these shields from a police? Yeah, you're very similar. Go on, click us on the next one, Darius. So that one, that's it. So there you go, you can see them. And you've seen police with that kind of thing, haven't you? The riot squads. And these were made so they joined together across the front, and then they put them over the heads, and they would walk in unison, protected. Clever, clever design. Interesting. 2,000 years later, they haven't improved much on the design. They're probably just made of something different. Now, Paul says to us that we're to use faith in the same kind of way. Faith is to be used to protect us against the incoming attacks of our spiritual enemies and forces. It tells us something, first of all. If we're to have a shield of faith, the inevitable, take on the next slide, Darius, we will come under enemy fire. If we're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will face enemy fire that designs and desires only to destroy you, to cause you pain, to cause you suffering. Fired at you by the enemy of your soul will come from many different targets. It's not a question of if, but when this happens. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. Let's get out of our minds, if ever it gets in, that to be a Christian somehow excludes us, somehow protects us from having difficulties and troubles in our life. Those of you who are younger in the faith, those of you who are just starting off following Jesus, I need to warn you about this. Do not be surprised when the going gets tough. Do not be surprised when everything seems to go against you. Don't be surprised when you feel like giving up. Don't be surprised when you wonder, what is going on? As we've thought several times, we're in a spiritual battle. We have a spiritual enemy. We've got an old nature that doesn't do life God's way, that makes wrong choices. We fight against that. If we're going to stand for Jesus, then these things, and Satan will use them, and he'll get his followers to try and thwart us and disrupt us and hurt us. So we need to have some kind of protection. And one of the key things is the shield of faith. So what is the shield of faith? Let's ask this question. What is the shield of faith? Well, a couple of things. What it's not. The shield of faith isn't simply agreeing with the truths of the Bible. Click it on. That's lovely. It's not simply agreeing with the truths of the Bible. You see, that was more the belt of truth, where you put around and you get to know what the Bible teaches. It's more than knowing what we believe. It's more than having a grasp on the teaching of Jesus. It is not faith in faith itself. A lot of people I hear say, oh, well, I've got faith. And as if somehow faith in faith will help them. We're not talking about that. You see, what is important is where your faith is in, isn't it? That's the key thing. What are we believing in? What are we placing our trust? What are we putting our confidence in? The shield that we're talking about is not having a belief, and it's not simply saying, well, I'm confident in something else. It's got to be in the right thing. So what is it? Next two things, Darius. So it is trusting in God. Our confidence has got to be in God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who controls it still, and in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, who reigns as the supreme king of all. One before whom one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Our faith has got to be in them. Who is this God? He is the maker. What's he like? He's good. He's fair. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is everywhere. This is the God. This is your God. You're a believer this morning? This is your God. Isn't that wonderful? And it's no good just having some little make-believe God of your own imagination. So many people want to make God, you know, what they want him to be. And I tell you, every time somebody does that, he will be less than the God of the Bible. Because our God, the God of the Bible, is far greater than we can understand or know. So it's got to be trusting in him completely and alone. And then it means that we need it. Faith involves applying that knowledge of God to everyday life, applying what we know about God. It's not simply saying, well, I believe in God and I'm a follower of Jesus. It's more than that. It is deliberately saying, well, I believe this about God. I believe this about Jesus. He has said this. He has said that. Therefore, that, whatever it is, cannot be true. If Jesus was punished in my place, here's one example. If Jesus was really punished in my place, then I cannot be punished as well. If Jesus was punished in my place, then I will get to heaven because my sins have been taken away. It's applying what we know to our lives. A wise person once said that faith is in Jesus is to the Christian what air is to an aeroplane. Think about that. Faith is to the Christian what air is to an aeroplane. Though it cannot be seen, it enables the plane to get off the ground. You can't see it, you can't touch faith, but it is that which enables us to fly and rise above and conquer and live victorious. You've got to have the two. Obviously, you've got to have momentum, and somebody's going to be clever and say, we've got to have other things than that. But you know what I mean. So there's those things here. Now let's move on, because I think it's obvious already that the shield of faith, and this is the third thing, Darry, can you click it onto this? That the shield of faith, we've got to take it up. We've got to pick it up. It's no good just having it there and knowing about it. We've got to take it up and we've got to use it. Paul says you've got to take up the shield of faith. You've got to pick it up if it's going to be any use. It's no good just knowing it. It's no good having it by your bedside. It's no good just having it there in your head. You've got to take it up and you've got to use it. There are times when all will be going well in our life. Praise God. There are times when all goes well. For some of you, you wish there were more times like that, don't you? Life just feels like a constant battle. For you, you're going to have to take up this shield of faith on a daily basis. A daily basis. An hourly basis. Moment by moment basis, you're going to have to take this shield, what you believe and what you know about Jesus, and you're going to have to use that all of the time. There'll be other times, much less frequent, where life is good, and maybe you think, well, I don't really need it, but you need to have it near you, because the Satan and these attacks, these enemy thoughts and ideas will come often as an ambush, often when we're not expecting it. If you've had a warning on this one, if things have gone well for you, if things spiritually, I'm talking about, have gone well, and you're enjoying blessing, then get ready, because Satan will not like that. And it's likely that he will try and bring something. You need to have that shield of faith ready at your hand to hold up against it. We've got to shelter underneath it. We've got to do it intentionally. That makes effort. That means thought. Don't just assume that it will happen. It's a deliberate decision that you make. I really want to, if I could, I'd love to get this and kind of put it into your heart. This is so crucial. I find so often people know the Bible and they'll come to me and I say, Still, what should I do in this situation? And they know the answers. It's a question of applying it. Applying a promise from the Bible and say, well, God has said this, therefore I'm going to stand on it. You've got to do that. I can't do that for you. I can point it out. I can show you the promises. But you're the one that have got to take it. You've got to believe it and trust in the God that made that promise. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? You can't just assume it's going to happen. There's this deliberate choice. I'm going to believe God rather than these other things. I'm going to trust God rather than these other things. Let me just give you, as we finish this morning, some examples of the kind of arrows. Some of these you'll know about. I'm not going to tell you anything new here, but just a few of the most common ones, I think. The arrow of lust. Oh, I'll tell you. You think, well, that's a funny one that you start with, Stuart. I'm telling you the reason. I'm telling you this because I come across it so often. So often, men, I don't have many women confessing this to me, but I have a lot of men saying how they struggle, not just men, not just young men, middle-aged men, some older men as well, struggle with the lust, fires of passion that burn in their hearts. If you let that lust, if you let those inappropriate desires land on you and set you on fire, you've got to hold up the shield of faith, believing that God's ways are best and that truthfulness and faithfulness and purity and honesty are the best path. As hard as it is, but to do things God's way, being faithful in your mind and your thoughts, being pure in what you look at and what you talk about. So beware of the arrow of lust. Believe in God. Trust him that his way of purity is best. The second one is the arrow of anger. Maybe that's, you know, throw one out. Probably many of us struggle with that at times. So destructive. You know, you let anger get into you. You let start to express it. That can leave such long-term scars, can't it? You say a word to somebody and it just, it hurts and it causes scars. How many of you, don't put your hands up, how many of you live with scars of things that have been said in the past that have hurt deeply? Inflicted on you by someone else. It destroys, it leaves a legacy of fear and destruction. We need to use the shield of faith, trusting that God is fair, rather than letting it out, but trusting that, you know, the word of God, it says that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That it's not up to us. It's for us to be self-controlled. Let God sort it out. Let God sort it out. We're going to stand before him. He's fair. He's just. You've got to trust him. When you feel like he knows, he's seeing, he's understanding. And if there's a person that has done something wrong to you, God will sort it out. You've got to trust him. The arrow of disappointment, dashed hopes, plans, desires. It saps our strength, this arrow. If it lands on us rather than on the shield, it will sap our strength. See, when we're disappointed with what is happening in our lives, what's the answer to that? You've got to hold up the shield of faith, believing that God is in control, that in all things God works for the good of those that love him. Even when he seems to take you the long way round, even when he seems to allow things that you don't understand and that seem to be destroying, trust him that he knows, trust him that he's going to work for good, even when you're disappointed. Often the result of disappointment is discouragement. When you get disappointed, you can get discouraged. It's another arrow that will fire at us when our hopes and our joy can go. And our outlook is dim and it's glum and there's nothing there to encourage us. And we need to believe that with God all things are possible. That though we walk through the valley, we're in a valley because the sun has been obscured. But the sun is still there. It doesn't change anything. And we need to hold on to him. Just because we can't see God, just because he doesn't seem to be doing anything, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care and that he doesn't exist. The arrow of doubt, that then follows on quite often hard on the heels of discouragement. It's a favorite enemy. Very flammable, very destructive. And of course, its aim is to make us think God doesn't actually care for us. You know, when we don't see our prayers answered, when things happen, and we think that he doesn't care. Where is he? Where is his control? We've got to hold on that he knows. But hold on to what we know about God in those circumstances. Got to hold on to his reputation, his character. And hold on to what Jesus has done. That he died for us. He rose again and he is coming again. Got to hold on to that. And then last one that flies on from that very often is the arrow of the temptation to disobey. Because if we start to get disappointed, discouraged, and we start to doubt, it's a simple step then just to not bother to try anymore, just to go the other way and to think, well, I'll do what I want because it's not going to matter. And of course, that is the evil one. That's your enemy's ultimate goal, to make you go away from God, to make you start to live in a way that dishonors God rather than obeying him, rather than thinking right things, to get you to live as if God isn't around, doesn't encourage you. The ultimate goal, The ultimate way to resist that is to hold up again the shield of faith in who God is. It's believing in the nature and the character of God. That's why it's important that we get to know God. Read about him. Learn about him every day when you as often as you can, you read the scriptures, say, what does this teach me about God? That's why it's, you know, we try and focus here on church quite often on who God is, the character of God, the nature of God. Because if we lose that, then we lose our strength, our shield of faith to hold up. So this morning, maybe something's going on in your life. Maybe something's going on during the week. Maybe there's internal arrows that you're experiencing. Hold up that shield. Hold up the shield of faith. Maintain your walk with him. Let's sing a song and then we'll come into communion.